It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Oarsman Faces podcast is now sponsored by TyreSpot, the Northeast's leading tyre supplier with branches across the region. TyreSpot don't just do tyres, they cover everything from servicing to wheel alignment. They can handle every aspect of your car's maintenance. For more information, visit tyrespot.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Always Smile and Face the podcast on the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. It is myself, your host, Chris, joined by Bestie, Mark, and Decker. As you can see, those that are watching live, these two just aren't paying attention.
Welcome to pros,
good evening.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Jesus. Do you know what, when you see like the cuts of the news and people are just having a chat beforehand?
Oh, I think they
have to. You should have grayed out until you come to work.
Three. Exactly, yeah.
Well, like unlockables.
As you can tell, my voice is still knackered. 3 weeks in a row now, getting there. But Decker, start the podcast off by saying those famous words once again.
Well, won you now?
That's back-to-back wins for Newcastle United. They had the win in the cup, which all of us were at. And can you class that as a win?
No, it's a draw. That,
it's a draw.
It's a victory on paper.
It's a big
felt like a loss. To be honest,
it's not like people say that England were unbeaten in the 1990 World Cup and they either lost on penalties to Germany in the semi, West Germany. It's the unbeaten on the technically.
I'm not sure.
The penalty shootout happens outside
within
of
90 minutes. I'll give you that.
120 minutes. It happens outside of the confines of the football match. It's a separate. It's a tiebreaker. So yeah, they're unbeaten. Or they haven't won. Such as it is now.
It is actually our first home victory of 2024.
The Blackburn last game. No, that was away, man. I didn't drive 2.5 hours.
Saturday was our first victory of 2024 at home.
Shall we start with the Blackburn game? Excuse me, briefly. Shall we start with that?
Yeah.
Do I have to? There's not much to talk about. Obviously, we all made our way down in separate cars. Well, not four separate cars, but Mark, you went in a car with the lads. Us three were in a car as well. Nice little drive that we had down, even though Decker doesn't know his surroundings from his workplace. But the less said about that, the better.
Yeah, I was actually correct.
No, it wasn't he not?
You said, what did you say again?
I said I was parked behind Barker and Stonehouse.
It's not there anymore.
Oh, well, I've just got to say, as an independent adjudicator to this situation, I'm firmly in team Bestie and Willis.
That's fine. You can't
himself on Northumberland.
No, do you know? No, truthfully, right? I thought I was standing there. I was literally there because it's right. I had all my bags, literally all of them. And I was like, right, well, I know where that is. And I thought, do you know what it is? I'm going to walk just across this road and you're going to say, all right, well, closed down there, man. It's not there anymore. That's what I had. I had your voice in my head saying that. And I went, no. I'm going to put it in my sat now. So I walked all the way to where it actually was. And you went, no, I'm where it was before.
You could have rang.
We're not with all them bags.
Which Parker and Stonehouse?
Well, isn't Parker and Stonehouse next to the Metro Centre now?
No,
so you didn't walk from Newcastle to the Metro Centre.
There's apparently one behind Northumberland Street now. Well, certainly what I said on Google Maps anyway. So that's where I walked to. Unless it's in Phoenix, I didn't know. But anyway, I walked there and realised he wasn't there. I was standing outside W. Smith's going,
the department store.
Yeah, where's the parking? Because when you said there's loads of parking spaces, in my head I was walking towards Northumberland Street going, there ain't like... not hundreds, like.
But anyway,
let's put it to the audience. If we said... we're at Barker and Stonehouse in Newcastle.
Closed down.
Round about the
where would you go?
Considering I had just been on the phone and told them I was in the Newcastle United club store as well.
Yeah, I know.
30 seconds before.
Yeah.
And we're picking you up from
his work. Of, yeah, his place of work. But anyway, less said about that, the better. Bestie.
Hello.
The game itself at Blackburn.
Yes.
Wasn't really much to write home about, was it?
I had a great time. I loved it. I never stopped singing the whole thing. Now the game was, we had all the ball. In my memory, at least, and we just couldn't do anything with it. And then as soon as Blackburn got it, the court won the break every time, it felt like. Dubravka played brilliantly. The ball kept on bouncing off Isak and Willick, and they couldn't really get into it. It was a really, really frustrating game. And even with that in mind, like, obviously Gordon scored, should have had another one when he went through one-on-one with the keeper. Couldn't quite get his body around the ball properly. Ashley Barnes? He didn't play for it. Harvey Barnes would probably have scored one. So it's not like we didn't have chances. We just couldn't. We couldn't put them away, and we kind of really laboured to make them. I thought like it was a frustrating against Blackburn, who at 16th in the Championship, although they've just got
copied again in the weekend.
I was going to say they just got Birmingham's manager in early last month.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name, but he was doing a good job at Birmingham before Tom Brady.
Not John
Paul Thomas.
Before Tom Brady sacked him. And thought he'd get away and ruining instead, and they plummeted down the table. So I mean, Blackburn, I always feel I kind of got a bit melancholic during the game because Ewood Park looks exactly the same now as it did in 1995. Mm. And it's like, that's 29 years ago.
Apart from there's a few Venky signs up there now.
Well, that's the difference, is the Venky stuff. Like, and it's they won the Premier League, and nothing's happened since. It's a bit, the total decline. Like, it's a bit of a shame because they were Blackburn. I mean, when I was a kid, when we were kids, maybe Mark was a bit older. We're a good side, like a really, really good. Obviously, we got Shearer from there. Tim Flowers and Gold, Tim Sherwood, Ripley.
Jack Walker's money.
What's he called? Center half. Jack Walker's money. Colin Henry, center half. Hennenberg, a really, really good
Graham
side.
Lasso.
And to see him now, like sponsored by a Robust now company, they've got Venky's all over the shop, and the stadium's not changed in 20. It's a bit, it's just sad. It's a bit of a shame. It
very much reminded me of Mike Ashley's Newcastle.
I could see that would be where we, I mean, that was, yeah, that could have been how we wound up had it not been for the intervention of His Excellency and his mates.
The game itself was horrendous.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was terrible. Absolutely horrendous. The lack of movement off the ball, in possession of the ball, we were so lazy, just slow. And you know, it was funny, when halftime came, I went, well, okay, right, we're getting in there. We'll come out a different side the second half. It's exactly the same team. They played exactly the same way. Shea's looking for this long ball over the top all night long. It was just horrific. It was horrific. And when we got the goal, I thought, now it'll be okay. We'll play with a bit more confidence and we'll see the game through. Couldn't even do that.
Nah.
You know what I mean? And I absolutely agree. We had good chances in the game. Not loads, but we had some good chances of Bruno off the line, for example, blah, blah.
At least three where we should have really scored.
Very true, but I thought them had some good chances as well. Dubravka pulled off two of three fantastic saves.
Yeah, did I?
But yeah, I think the only thing you can say is the through, right? And I have to say, when the penalties came along, well, actually, before going into extra time, the end of regulation time, God, them looked really good. And I was, really looked good the last 5-10 minutes. I said, oh my God, we're going into extra time. But I think when extra time came, them played for penalties. They just, let's just get through it, depends. And once we won the toss and it was towards our fans, I did think we'll be okay. Like,
yeah.
And obviously, taking the first penalty as well and go ahead in the penalty show was Fabian that took the first one.
Oh, it hasn't got in yet, is it? Still slowly rolling.
Scandalous was that penalty.
Still
from
slowly
that's
rolling.
About how slow he was during the game, like, and I had when he was getting the ball at the back. I was screaming at him. Honestly, he couldn't hear us. Like, but can you, if you go back to that game, he had the ball probably more than any outfield player for us, I felt, in that game. Mm. I could not believe how slow he was in the ball.
I honestly don't remember.
Oh, I was like, move, get the ball, move, pass the ball.
You didn't even really have that much, did you?
I not loads. I had a nice time. I bought.
I wasn't drunk at all. Now I had quite a bit in the car.
I bought four cans of San Miguel I have on a drive down. I had to go to the off licence and Darlington because I drank three of them before I got there.
Yeah, I was a good server, bestie. I was a good.
You
server.
Did. I know you and Carl in the back, and did really well. Like it was a nice trip. It was well driven by Chris Wallace in the dark. Yes, Chris, like, well. Not a fun drive over the A66.
There was one moment where Decker had his face buried in his phone for about an hour. Then he looked and he went, "Chris, you were driving on the right side of the road."
Yeah, I just seen these like truck lights. I'm thinking, "Them look, they're on our side." Like, and I went, "And but yeah, I was wrong."
but yeah, it was. Like we said, at the end of the day, we got through. It wasn't a great game. Wasn't much to talk about, but we got through. Having said that, we drew Manchester City.
made it all worthwhile, didn't it? That long trip down, the extra time, the penalties, sitting through that turgid display just to get that dream draw.
So the FA Cup draw was happening, and the two balls which are left are Manchester City and Newcastle United. You're thinking, just give them a home draw. Just give them a home draw. Yeah. But no, it's not. Manchester City is.
I just wanted to mention something about the draw. I found it very strange that it was before the games had finished. Like,
it's unusual, that.
Shouldn't it normally after the games?
Kind of traditionally, I understand it.
Because the teams that are about to play, what happens if, say, one of them got Man City away? And I'm not saying they would do this, but the players are. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, got Man City away. It's not exactly the... I know that didn't work out for the teams that were to come, but if it was, I'd be a bit demoralised going into the game I'm about to play, knowing I've got City next.
Maybe, but it was Liverpool v Chelsea, wasn't it? So it was two sides that historically would have given Man City a game. That was the game, the Wednesday night game.
I still think it's mental.
It's just the draws that we've had. I know people gone about it. I think it's just bad fortune that every draw we've had, with the exception of Blackburn and Sunderland, has been a Champions League winner, PSG finalist a few years ago. Yeah. And we've had this big thing to start the season about cup ticket schemes. We've had one home match in the cups, Champions League notwithstanding. Yeah, and that was Man City. Yeah. they've been away every round of every cup, apart from that one game.
We've got no chance down there.
Well, anyhow,
that's the spirit.
Anyhow, was asked the question. He said he nearly drove his car off the road when that came through. I bet he did.
Another
cup draw, we're getting shafted. You know what I mean? Even if it was at home,
you know what I mean?
I don't know, it just feels a bit different. Even if it was Man City,
did Man U get drawn home again? Apropos of nothing. Because they've had something like 15, 16 home draws in a row in the domestic cups.
Of course they have.
That might not be the right figure, but it's a lot. It's kind of like...
It's a
statistical anomaly. What they've had. So they've kind of just the opposite of us, where we keep on getting drawn away to all these teams. Man, you keep on getting even the Champions League group in the finished bottom. Galatasaray, Copenhagen, and someone else that you think that should go through that one. But yeah.
It's just not fair, is it?
It's not.
And it's just not fair.
And they've got the gall to complain that we've put Dan Ashworth and Gardner leave.
Yeah. Dan looks like he's gone as well. Even though we still haven't yet received an official approach from Man United.
Is that right?
Apparently so.
Well, apparently he's been having secret chats with Graham Potter.
And I heard someone say that surely is legal.
He's getting the band back together for Man United type of thing.
That's surely like...
It is illegal, but it goes on, doesn't it?
It goes. Has somebody spotted them doing this in...
Apparently, you know, the guy...
No, honestly.
Apparently the guy from The Sun said that they literally have four...
Oh, there you are.
Just said it. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying, you asked the question, has someone seen them? And I'm trying to get it out there that someone apparently has actually got photos of the meeting and stuff. Now, there could have been a meeting to speak about how his garden's getting on and stuff. It might not be about football.
They're old mates.
I'm a great believer. No smoke without fire.
I had a few drinks with Taylor on Saturday night. Doesn't mean that.
Oh, I know you weren't talking about finding number it. Five. And all the rest of it. I know that.
I'm going back to true faith.
Oh, he's still fucking out. 12 minutes in. Honestly, they can have you. I'm sick of you. They can have you. Let's jump forward to Saturday's game, Mark. Wolves for the visitors, St. James's Park. What are your thoughts going into that game? Because I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I mean, they've been on a good run of form. Wolves, haven't they? So you expect them to come and put up a good game because they've made good strides under Gary O'Neill, haven't they, in the recent weeks and months. So I think they've just had a little bit of a turnaround of fortune because they went through that awful run with VAR decisions and referee decisions and such. He seems to have turned them round. So I was probably expecting a little bit more of a game from them than we're seeing. That's not to say that they didn't test were at times, but I just thought we got it absolutely bang on with the way we kind of approached the game and went about things. It was a pretty good affair, I thought, between the two teams.
quite an even one, I thought, earlier. I thought it was weird that we didn't try to keep the ball as much as we often do, or normally do. We're kind of set to them, they have it. But they were missing the Korean centre forward.
Two strikers.
Whose name I'm not going to try, and I'm not going to get turned off. And so but they started by
Pedro. Saul was one of them.
Yeah. And they had Pedro Neto starting in the middle up front. He went off quite early on. The keeper got injured in the first half, the first goal.
So you wouldn't have known that because we didn't do much in the second half to test him out, I didn't feel. But
I thought it's weird because I thought we were we played far better in the second half, but without any real kind of a great deal of end product. Apart from Big Bentino came on.
I think going into the game, it was a really big game, I felt, because in terms of us looking for European spots, if you like, obviously Wolves were slightly just ahead of us. They have been on a great run of form. You would say I wouldn't say form, we lost one in the last seven, but the way we've been playing hasn't been what we expect. So that's how I felt it was going to be a really tough game. I do think the injuries that them had really helped us, because I think them weren't the same team, really. They had loads of the ball and they were pretty at times, but my God, they've done nothing with that.
I think the injuries that they had were also the fact that we've got Joe Willock starting to get more minutes. Playing again. He looks a bit fitter than he has looked.
I thought Willock, especially.
Oh, looked great.
He looked really good.
I was surprised that Murphy started, given how well Miggy did on Tuesday night when he came in, because I thought he was probably our best player on Tuesday.
Made the difference. I agree.
You know, one half of football. And seeing Murphy go in there from the start, given it his performances of late, came as a bit of a surprise to me.
See, do you know, like, I think I've said this before in past seasons, right, where, like, you know, like someone gets one game. So Murphy's been out a while. I'll just use him as an example, but I could go back way over and mention any player. And you get one game or you get one half and you play poorly. A lot of fans' reaction is, I wouldn't play him Saturday. He was terrible last game. But, you know, sometimes you've got to give players more than a game, right?
Well, like, do you know what I mean?
I thought it was quite a brave decision given the game. I agree, you know, looking from the outside in, you could go, well, I think he played really well when he came on. He changed the game. He deserves to start. But obviously, Howe had the opinion of whatever Murphy's been doing in training that I'm going to stick by you again. And I would have to say, I spoke to a few people after the game and them thought he played terrible. I actually thought Murphy played well.
On Saturday,
I thought, yeah.
I thought he played really well.
I thought he played well. I thought he was one of our better players.
I thought the ball he put in for the second goal.
Unbelievable. Ball.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
The soaking wet surface, he's put it 8 yards out, so the keeper's going to come for it.
Corridor of uncertainty.
The keeper's got to get two good hands on that ball, otherwise what happens.
Yeah.
It's a great ball. It's really intelligent.
An angle of it, because obviously when you're there, it's totally different, but where it's from behind him, I've seen an angle of it. God, the position he gets his body in to be able to get that whip. Oh, it's an unbelievable ball.
Made a huge part on Saturday.
Honestly, I have never heard anything like the noise that came down on the Gallagher roof.
I thought I might get called on.
Unbelievable.
I didn't actually go to the game. I was in Shearers, so I kind of watched it. It was my birthday on Saturday, so we did Bottomless Brunch in Turtle Bay. And that finished a quarter to three, so like I didn't want to do that and then go to my ass. Right, that's it. You go home now. I'm going to go to the game. I thought face pay.
Got to wait for you.
I'll have to do now together. I'll just pay for an extra 2 hours. I could have done that. Actually, should be clattered by the end of it. Which was anyway. But I watched it in Shearers. We were stood quite near the door when you go in on the Millburn side.
Yeah,
the door there, and
the entrance, because you're not allowed in the other door. That's the
I
exit.
Thought that was the case. Yeah, and it was coming down. I thought I was looking at the screen, thinking you can see. Like when I had close ups of Eddie Howe, he was saturated. I thought, he's getting called off. This, I could see this. If there's much more water comes down in this kind of this period, when it comes down really heavy, it kind of drained quickly enough.
Yeah.
Like I felt back to the Sunderland game was a big one. I didn't get called off. Fiorentina preseason, remember that one?
The Kabay one.
Yeah, yeah. One, well, the black kid. And I honestly.
Called it half time, that was it? Half-time,
yeah, I think it was. That. I honestly thought it was one point. I thought this might get pinned. I'm glad it didn't, because
I was more shocked to see the Castor shirts. Called up,
I think dissolved in the rain.
Both teams as well.
Yeah,
both teams.
Well, it's been a thing with Arnold's the Villa shirt, isn't it? That they have complained a whole too much water.
They've gone
not like a Villa shirt,
a wet look effect.
Yeah, the Villa shirts
would have been soaking wet. Like
when a player's got a sweat on the Villa shirt, like immediately it just becomes this. Like it's like,
all right, okay.
It's going to be a really niche reference, but the Italy shirt from the 2006 World Cup did the same thing. Not especially tight, but it's the material.
Material
so clings to you.
I had that one, actually. That one.
I've got it somewhere there now, sorry.
Did I have a tiny bit of a collar on it, like a raised collar on it?
Ever so slightly. Yeah. It was, it had a kind of dark blue armpits there. About just central. I've got it now somewhere. Yeah. It was a slightly
eye. I would pay money to see you wearing that best.
It's not a tight one. I got it from.
And it would be even now.
Well, it would be now. When I was 25, when I bought it, it wasn't like. But I got it from Carnaby Street in London. There, fancy. Yeah.
But the weather was weird because, like, at points it was lovely and sunny, and then it would just go really cloudy. And but when the rain came, boy, did it show. I felt sorry looking across at the Millburn stand, and that, like, you literally just know probably the first two sections, like all the paddocks, and then into the more expensive seats. And then and I don't understand why they do this, but the poor wheelchair users and stuff that they just line up in front of the barrier there.
Get drenched.
They were absolutely soaked.
The feed, you probably wouldn't have seen it because he'd been in their seat at half time, but the feed had a couple sat, I'm assuming, down the front of either the Gallagher or the Millburn, and had ponchos on, and they just looked miserable.
Aye.
They looked absolutely sick of their lives. Bless them.
They can always leave.
Well, I mean, I'll read. Barrage.
I think what I will say, and this is maybe, how can I word this right? I felt in moments of the game for long periods, it felt like a friendly, if I'm honest. I felt atmosphere was really flat. Wolves had the ball, done absolutely nothing with it.
Yeah.
We were 2-0 up. We'll get onto the goals, I know, individually. But, you know, I love the fact that we try to be a bit different in the game. We try to play a bit differently. We got 2-0 up and we almost went, okay then, right, go on then, what are you going to do? And it's not up to us to make everything happen all the time. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say I was negative towards the performance. It was just we got the goals that we got, and we almost went, right, okay, we're going to be solid because we're being conceding goals left, right, and centre, right? Let's be fair, yeah? So we're going to try and be tight, and it's up to you to break us down. And them could have still been playing. Now we want to score, in my opinion.
It was a strange one.
It was a very strange game, I felt. It was weird.
I remember that we got beat 3-0 at Villa Park last season, and it felt like we got a good hiding. That didn't feel like we gave Wolves a hiding there.
That's exactly what I mean. We won 3-0, but I walked out the game going, it could have been 0-0. It's a weird thing to say that, but
obviously still a great result. And
yeah, absolutely.
There was times last season where we'd turn teams over, and I thought, I wasn't really expecting that there. It was a fair even game, and we just had the edge in certain circumstances. That's it. Maybe it's Villa at home last season, maybe an example. Mm-hmm. Beating 4-0, 4-1. And we played well, but it's not like we're kind of totally dominated everything, and that might not be a good example, but there were examples.
I remember West Ham away, I think we won 4-0 last season, or maybe even more, 5-1 or something. Was it 4-1,
5-1? 4-1
or 5-1. And we were like, I'm not sure that was 5-1, but we'll take it.
Because they got about the ones each, and then Isak scored that lob. And
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think that's kind of a bit of a mark of how we've been under Howe. Not every game. There have been games like Sheffield United where we've just blown teams away at the start of the season.
PSG.
PSG. Even PSG at 3-1, I thought, oh, this could turn this. Like,
I think when
Hernandez scored,
that was probably one of the reasons that he did go with Murphy, was because we did intend to hit them on the break and counter against them.
Definitely, yeah.
Obviously, he is in it when he's got a lot of space to run into with no one in front of him. He's quite rapid in there, and you know, as we just talked about there for the second goal, he certainly did that. But like, Gordon just had the run of the place on the left hand side. Isak was able to drop into little bits of space, almost into that position that we've talked a lot where we've been poor in between our defence and midfield. He was occupying positions like that. Our midfield were pushing into them, which, you know, Willock, who you've just mentioned, was
good to see him
just a breath of fresh air to have him back in those positions and looking.
It was like having Joe Willock back, wasn't it? It was great.
Yeah. He was good.
From very early on, he was charging down the left-hand side. Yeah. Charging down it. And I was like, oh, you know, he's back.
He's one of my favourite players.
Wasn't just on the ball as well. I was watching him loads off it, and he's pressed from the front.
Yeah.
You know, he's so energetic and willing to go for it. I don't really feel you might get that from from Melio Longstaff. Not Longstaff does
it's not their game, really.
It's just not. Willock just has more legs than them.
He's got the athleticism, hasn't he? Where Longstaff, Melio, more.
And I thought the second half, God, he played some beautiful passes. There was one out wide and one he played down the line, which beautiful balls like that. So fantastic to see him back and getting more minutes and not coming off hurt.
I think the two players that we'll probably miss the most throughout the season are probably Willock and Isak. So, Mark, it's great to have both of them starting a game.
And Isak looked that he was getting back. That sharpness was there. His movement was there. And we've chatted around. Has he been quite fit when he's came back in? But I mean, he even talked about it himself. Like after the game, of that he's getting back to the levels that he wanted to be at with his fitness and stuff like that, which can only be a good thing. But it's just nice to have those options again, isn't it? And get them on the pitch.
Keep him fit, because Wilson's obviously not coming back anytime
soon.
Before the end of April, is he?
I've heard that it's his groin, isn't it? Apparently, it's a groin injury that he's done twice this season.
Two or three times,
And there was a ball went over the top, which he definitely could have gotten. But you seen him go up and went, actually, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
And he just kind of just didn't bother for it. And I thought, it must be that groin, that why overstretch for that ball, because it might go again. Yeah. It was the first thing I noticed when I can't remember who played the pass over, but he played a ball over and he went to go and get it.
One of those, you just don't trust their body for a while.
100%, yeah. How mentioned that?
He's probably had a similar thing.
Yeah. How mentioned that in his press comments when he needs to learn to be able to trust his body again, which you do, right? If you're breaking down every time you come back, you're going to lose a bit of confidence in yourselves.
So. He's got a lot of weight and he's got a lot of pressure as well, because do you know what it is? If he overstretches for that ball and he's injured, we don't have a striker. That might be in the back of his mind as well, Bestie, thinking if I get injured, there's nobody else to fill that void apart from Gordon, but it's not ideal having that situation.
It's not, but funny enough, I was thinking on the drive in about Gordon and the goals he scored. I watched the compilation, I think last night, and he scored so many goals from inside the 6-yard box.
He's positioned in excellent.
He talks about it. I think he was talking to Rio Ferdinand a while ago, and it was a goal he scored against Man U where Bruno's got the ball, and instead of him asking for it, he's kind of made the move. The ball's got to trip you. And whilst it's gone out there, he's made the move to the back post. The ball comes in, he puts it in there. But there was that one.
Yeah, I saw that in view.
The goal against, that one at the weekend against Wolves. I know he's a bit further up, but still. There's the Arsenal goal that he was on the line pretty much for. But just his positioning, he seems to be at the right. Quite often.
His goal against Blackburn would have been that as well.
Because it was Miggy who cut it back. Mm-hmm. Quite often you see him and he's not a striker, obviously, but he's positioning. But
again, you saw that against Blackburn when he went through one-on-one with the keeper and just puts it straight at him.
I remember.
Yeah, but you've got the Liverpool at home game was straight through and he gave a great finish.
Yeah, he did.
Listen, it's football. My God, I watched Haaland miss a shot on Sunday there against Man United.
Yeah.
He's a yard out and puts it over. He's the best striker there is. It's very, you can't score every time. Like, you just can't do it, man. Like, it's for me, right? I'm much more happy just to get in that position, to see him in them positions is more important. Well, it's not more important. That's a daft thing to say because, of course, scoring is important. But it's great to see him in them positions. That's what I'll say.
Do you know what it is with Decker? Like, he might be my favourite player this season. Like,
yeah.
But he is for me, without doubt. And I think it's because you get it. He's so tenacious, isn't he? Mm. I think he's infectious, I think, when you watch him. He's infectious.
Bruno will get all the plaudits and rightly so at times because he had another great game. He did at the weekend.
He did.
Absolutely fantastic. We saw him against Blackburn playing the position of three midfielders. He does it again against Wolves. Mm. And he just keeps on getting better more and more each game. But for Gordon Melee, I've never been so happy to have been proved wrong about a footballer.
He's such an upgrade on that. I know we mentioned bloke that played out there as well, isn't
I know we mentioned a few times about Gordon when he was an Everton player and how a lot of people disliked him and the performances that he was putting in. But by God, he's absolutely fantastic, you know.
He is, and I have to say, I don't think us around this table anyway didn't think we'll probably go back now and someone will go, well, you definitely said he was shit. I don't think Webber said he was shit or like we shouldn't be signing him. Maybe I did because I'm actually, but I'm joking. But like, I just thought the price tag, I think maybe, and he's a bit of a diver and things like that. I think we all thought there was a player in there.
I absolutely disliked him.
I disliked him, but you can see.
He's absolutely won me over.
I remember we were saying, everything.
He's unbelievable.
Maybe this time last year, maybe a bit close at the end of the season, we were sitting here saying, see how he is with the pre-season in him.
Yeah.
With a full Eddie Howe pre-season, obviously played in Euros as well, so he didn't get the full time off. And I remember saying that myself, and I'm looking back now thinking he's better than I thought he would be.
Do you think 100%. It's been a bit of a maturity for him as well, Bestie?
It feels that way. It's difficult because...
I think we were talking about this in the drive down to Blackburn where I'm sure it was me and you talking about it. Sometimes it takes a player to leave that area to become a better player?
Maybe that kind of, yeah, that getting off the breast kind of thing, mm-hmm. like you're getting away from home and all that. It might be that. It might be because obviously he's a Liverpool lad and he played at Everton his whole career, talking about loans and stuff. But he was, he just seemed to fit in pretty much straight, certainly with the squad straight away. In the first team, it was a bit kind of hit and miss, and he had a couple of chances. Mm-hmm. I remember Southampton at home last season, he put one wide way. Similar to Miggy, we mentioned Miggy's thing against Huddersfield last week. Well, we mentioned it last week, the thing against Huddersfield wasn't last week.
It was years ago. Jesus, his memory's going here,
man. It's old age. But and Gordon has been, even when he's looked knackered, when they had that spell when we were playing 3, 4, 5 games a week, it felt like, even when he's been knackered, he's still been dangerous. He's still been like, he hasn't had a bad game all season that I can think of.
Yeah, I think what is, if you go back to that time when he first came, we were desperate for him to score and he couldn't score. He was missing chances and things like that. And you just were begging him for him to get a goal. And there has been times, Besson, where he's looked shattered. Like, he's looked absolutely shattered. And I think what you notice just how, when he is a little bit tired, I'm not saying he has to be absolutely at his peak, but you can certainly notice the drop-offs. Yeah. Where in certain players, like Bruno, for example, for all he might be struggling to get around the pitch because of the position he plays in, he still has that quality on the ball. Sometimes he has time on the ball to play a pass, etc. With Gordon, his style is so, I'm just going to get the ball and run at you.
Yeah.
You have to be really fit to keep doing that. It is. So when he's not on it, fitness-wise, it really shows, I think. That's not a slight on him. I just mean, but he was playing 4 games a week and that. You know, I get it. I get the drill, like. But no, I absolutely love him. And he is absolutely an upgrade on my mate. No doubt about it. So, you know, he's output in terms of the results of what he's, you know, assists, goals, probably tracking back, tackles, everything. You know what I mean? My God. He's
perfect for this team.
Absolutely
like,
perfect.
He didn't get his first goal until the last game last season, Stamford Bridge. Mm-hmm. And he's got 10 now this 10 season? 11, 10, yeah. 10 goals.
That's incredible.
He's 10 goals and 8 assists, I think.
I think there's, he's one of the top, what would you call it, goal involvements in the Premier League this season.
He's been phenomenal, Mark. He really has. And we mentioned Bruno there, but Mark, somebody else we need to give credit to here is Dubravka. That's 2 games in a row, really, he's kept us in a game.
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty quiet first half. Not a lot to do, as we kind of mentioned. But I think as the later on in the game, it went, they made quite a lot of changes and went more to try and win the game, kind of based on where they'd got to. I think they brought 5 players on in the end.
It was 2 at half time, wasn't
it? And I think there was, God, there's two saves that I think happened at the Gallagher end that like stick out in me.
One at his near post,
mind.
Was great.
He's gone the wrong way almost.
Great reactions from it.
So there's a header that I remember, which I thought was more for the cameras from my angle, anyway.
Is that one he keeps hold of?
He keeps hold of it, yeah. No, it was at our end. But there was a one where he dove to his right and tipped it wide, which was a hell of a save. Yeah. It really was. And there was the third one I remember when Byrne got caught out with the back post. It went over his head, and Dubravka did really well that he covered his front post. There wasn't really anywhere the striker could go, really. But I thought the first save, which was the one he tipped wide, was a huge moment because you only turned it up at the time.
Yeah.
It could have went 2-1, and then you're doing what's going to happen, right? It gives them more confidence, et cetera, et cetera.
That one where he made himself big was a little bit like the one from Miggy for the ball that Bruno puts through.
Yeah.
Because Miggy takes a touch.
That's right, yes.
Miggy takes a touch and the keeper straight on him. Yeah, he can't do anything with it. Like,
Miggy gets got a bit of criticism, especially on the commentators. Got criticism for not doing well enough and he should be doing better. That is fantastic goalkeeping.
He had to hit it first time. Not that I'm not saying he could, but the only way to get a shot off, because of the second he took a touch, the keeper was there.
Yeah,
he couldn't do anything more than that, really.
But what a ball by Bruno.
Ridiculous.
There was, in that game, there was a lot of spells of fantastic football that we played where, you know, the move mightn't have came to anything, but we were just we were switching the play really well, link up. There was a couple of different passages of play where we just made some fantastic.
Do you want to know what my favorite passage of play was, Mark? The Dan Byrne chance.
I don't think you realised how much time and space he had for that.
He's head's that got a bit chance.
In it. He's snapping.
He's just like, he's the, what the hell am I doing here? Like bursting into
it. It was actually quite a snatch, wasn't it?
Just went, shit, I'm going to have to hit this. And he does just snatch at it, doesn't he?
So my favourite one was,
and
Dan Byrne was involved, was a Willock header.
That
cleared off the line.
That marauding overlap.
It's an incredible clearance.
It's become a Dan Byrne trademark, that little ding over the top.
But it was the same as Arsenal.
Marauding.
The same as Arsenal was Gordon to Byrne to Willock. That feels like it's not quite the new Bruno Trippier.
That right-hand side has totally changed, hasn't it? Do you not think?
I think we got sussed out a bit.
It's just not even. It's just not the same. Like it's just not the same. No, I think I referenced this in the Blackburn game. That the game we were going down at the Blackburn game. Sorry, and I think I referenced it in the car. Was I've noticed Trippier when we're in possession is coming more central.
Yes, he is. I.
And you lose what we were before with this link-up play on the right hand side.
We haven't had that right midfield though, where to allow because Bruno would then be able to push on and go into that inside right position, and Longstaff would drop in cover there, so that you had Trippier, Bruno, and Miggy. So.
It's funny, and I'm not going to jump. I will jump forward for a second, but the third goal, my God, Trippier is never ever going to be up there. That goal just doesn't happen if Trippier's on the field.
Well, I want to go back to the commentary for that one as well, because a commentator said that Tino Livramento does not know much about that finish.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
It's a great. It's not a goal of the season, but it's. No. You can see by the way he kind of
it looked like it at the time of the game.
Oh, it did. It looked like on a telly watching it, and I can see I watch it on the screen. I thought that's just dribbled in. I thought, is it an own goaler? But when you see the slow motion, when you see how his legs are, and he digs it out, it's a great. It's not like a Shearer's volley against Everton or Ginola against Ferencvaros, but it's that run. The pass
from Shearer as well.
I think to address that actually. All three goals, Fabian Shearer's passing.
He's involved in all three.
All three of them are.
Yeah. Back to his best, is he?
Two assists of the assister. And an assist?
Second assist, I believe they're called.
Second assist.
I prefer assist for the assister.
Assist for the assister?
Yeah. I prefer that.
How many assisters have you got?
Assists. Tino trademark run. Once again, we've seen him do it on the left-hand side. We've seen him doing it on the right. And for him to get in that position, Decker, I know there's been a lot of conversation about Tino coming in at left-back. You get more from him on that right-back position.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And much more. It's clear that he's going to be the replacement for Trips, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think it's an amazing signing. Like, I think because again, that was a lot of money for a player that hadn't played that many games in terms of like. I know he was playing for that injury. He had been injured for a long period of time, and that is incredible scouting and obviously whatever Eddie Howe has seen. It might not just been Eddie Howe; it would have been the whole scouting team probably. But he's unbelievable. Like, and I think I know we'll talk about his goal, we'll talk about him going forward, but defensively, man, he's incredible defensively. Like.
I remember when he came on against Man City in the cup and he's had Grealish in his pocket straight away.
He's so good. Obviously, he's got the pace to get out of trouble. You know, if he does get beat, he's got the pace to get back. Yeah. Of course it will. He's comfortable on the ball. He can get forward. He's intelligent. He can finish, clearly. He's got it. Like,
I prefer him quite a lot. I know he's a right back, but how different he is, because on the left-hand side, he gets like the 35 yards from goal, he cuts in. Mm-hmm. And we saw him do it away at Paris. He kind of went the edge of the box a bit, and it's kind of well as he should probably have given the ball away, but moved it on 10 seconds ago, 10 yards ago maybe. Whereas on the right-hand side, he's just up there.
I love how he's inverted at full-back.
Yeah. But at left-back, he is. That right-back, he'd be an overlapper.
I love how he's so comfortable on the ball and can go forward. I'll go back to what I keep saying weekly. To become a side that we want to become, we have to have him, not can't clone him, but a player like him on both sides, that are both comfortable on the ball. I really feel to progress and be the team we want to be, you have to have two, not just attacking fullbacks, but if you had Andy Robinson on one side, you could clone him and make him again, on one side and him on the other, well, we've got this.
Massive bonus on your two central defenders and
you are, but
your midfield in front of that as well, doesn't it?
But when you're a good team, though,
it does a bit, but Trippier still gets forward.
Yeah, he does.
He does. Left back, you've got Dan Byrne coming.
But when we do that, we go to a back three, don't we?
And I'm not saying because of Tino's 10, 15 minutes, all of a sudden Trippier doesn't play again. This is what people get excited for, and I see it all the time.
Well, haven't I heard much about his injury?
No, I haven't, to be fair.
No. Keep it quiet.
And he kicked it out, didn't he? So he knew straight away.
Before it even hit the deck, he was
at the Football Writers Awards
last night, which he won.
Fair enough.
He had a bad little spell, bless him, but apart from that, he's been
got through it.
But yeah, who knows what's happening there? It's unusual that we haven't heard anything at this stage to say one way or another.
How his press conference will be full of the injury talk.
I think he was getting a scan today from what I heard. Right. Because I was listening to the Athletic podcast earlier today.
At least it was that one.
Literally an hour ago.
Jesus Christ.
Two faces too long for the drive in.
And you want to do it anyhow, drive off the road.
and it was Chris Watford saying that you could tell when they were talking to Trippier last night that he'd been briefed by Howe. Because he said he's been Eddie Howe'd, basically. He's given nothing away at all. But I think what they got from him was a scan was going to be today. So find out this week. But he said he felt all right. But we'll see, because obviously Chelsea this weekend, isn't it? So is it Chelsea this weekend? I believe it
on
is.
Monday.
We should know this.
Doing a watch along, yeah. Isn't it? Next Monday, we're Big Pizza.
We're Big Pizza on Monday.
Oh, shit, we're doing that.
That's next Monday.
This is why this game was, well, they're both huge games because Wolves were, I think, a point or two ahead of, or maybe 1 point ahead of us, sorry, something like that. And Chelsea were two behind at the time.
Yeah.
And it felt like Brighton. And Brighton, obviously, Fulham done were good for you, are they? So it felt, you know, these two games come and felt big because the in and around us, we're now in this little pocket of, we used to battle at the, could we win our own league, which used to be the bottom five? The could we win that? Yeah. I feel like we're in that mini league now between sort of 8th and 6th or 10th and 6th, you know what I mean? I feel. And we've passed the first test.
Liverpool winning the Carabao Cup's done with a good favour because that frees up another, because they're going to finish top four, aren't they? But top one, probably.
Yeah.
So that moves the European place further down for us.
Oh, not necessarily.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. Depends what happens in the other European.
Oh, there was that video doing around the day, which is the most confusing thing in the world.
No, that's the different thing. So that Liverpool winning the Carabao Cup means that they've already qualified for Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So if they qualify for the Champions League, which they will, that opens up another, that frees up their Carabao Cup European spot.
Yeah, it definitely does. Aye.
So we'll have the same
Europa League.
So that's another participant. Yeah, so that'll probably end up being what would have been 5th and 6th could be 7th and 8th, depending on how the Champions League thing goes. But it will, at the very least, be 6th and 7th, with 8th being the Conference League. And then obviously they've got teams in.
Would you be happy? Would you be happy with the Conference League if you got offered it now?
Absolutely.
I really would. I don't know if it's just because it's new.
Fewer games in the Conference League as well. Because next season's where the Champions League changes. The video you're talking about, I think I've seen.
We could win that.
Groups and all
by UEFA.
Well, that's what I said last season. Like, about we absolutely must finish in the Champions
League. It's one West Ham one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, you've got much more of a chance. And I understand that, particularly in the Europe, that if you get so far, then the Champions League teams will drop down into it. So it makes it a little bit more difficult there. But you've got a higher likelihood in winning a Europa Conference and a Europa League than the Champions League.
From next season, there's no drop down anymore.
Thank God for that, because that was a shite rule.
The groups and stuff.
Yeah. So the Champions League is, I believe, 8 games. And it's that the Swiss style, whatever it's called, the league. The Europa League's 8 games, but the Conference League's only 6 games in the group stage, and then you go through to the knockouts. So I think it'll be a round of 24. I think it's the same way you get a playoff round, and then the last 32 or last 16. So there's fewer games in the Conference League. So just if we want to win something,
there's a chance.
Let's finish 8th.
Yeah, like honestly, it's like when you go.
Well, I remember.
It's a bit like when you go to a buffet, isn't it, Decker, where you have a bit of choice of anything. Like Conference League, I know I don't really want that, but I'm going to have it anyway.
I'll certainly try it. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I remember watching when Moyes won it there, I was away at a golf tournament. I'm sure I wasn't went to the pub to watch it, and the scenes.
Great.
I was like, you know what it is? No one can. I'm not one of these ever to knock any competition that somebody wins. I really think that's disrespectful, and I'm sure people was it. P.S. Morgan or whatever was criticising Klopp for crying because of the Carabao. It's nonsense to me. Like, I think if you win a competition, no matter what it is, you've got the right to celebrate it. And for us, if we won that, and I mean, Christ, we're not even in it, and I'm saying we're going to win. It's ridiculous to even think.
Yeah,
but hypothetical. I have no problems with that whatsoever.
Well, I remember when they won the final last season. It was either, it was at the end of the season, so they've won the final, we finished 4th. And having a conversation with a Liverpool fan on Twitter saying, would you rather be a Newcastle fan now, being in the Champions League next season, or a West Ham fan, we've had a bit of a Midland League season, but won something? And there was genuine,
a debate.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that, because the season we've had, I know it's been rough and all that. We've got PSG. Like, I still watch the highlights of that game. I still watch Shea's goal probably at least once a week.
It feels a long time ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's not, I'm not trying to be negative there. I just mean it just feels a long time.
But I've got a kit in the house with the Champions League badge in the season, and that's stuff like that's
100%.
But then I would never begrudge a West Ham fan saying that they would rather have the season they'd had because I had a trophy. And I think that's fair enough. That's fine.
But best you just look at that shirt over there, that green shirt.
I've had that in my eyesight there.
With the badge on the sleeve, you're thinking, we were never expecting that.
Not this early.
The Champions League to me, that when the takeover happened, because you did have people saying, well, it's not going to, even though it's the PIF and they've got access to this much money, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they're going to be looking to spend, and that they could be more conservative in that kind of spending. And that was the best case scenario, was a Champions League in 3 or 4 years' time, and it happened in the first full season.
So, Earthling Call sends in this, and I'll come to you, Mark. He says, no, don't want the Conference League to be the first win in 50 years. So the first trophy in 50 years. Beggars can't be choosers right now, can
I mean, we haven't seen us win anything in our lifetime, and Bestie hasn't seen we win anything since the first cup.
I'm going to have to
say... The park doesn't count anymore as well.
I'm going to have to say the championship, like, when I still feel it harsh, you know. I don't know why I feel different about that competition.
You're right, it's because it's not...
I don't know why...
I loved winning that
title. No, that's what I'm saying, though, but I don't know why it gets so shit on, like.
What Decker's trying to say, and it's not really classed as a trophy.
I do find it ridiculous that...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
If you win the playoffs, you get a trophy. But if you come second in the league, you don't.
You don't get one there, yes. That's bizarre. There's something else.
Winning the championship.
I would say, on about winning stuff, if you win the Johnson's Paint Trophy, whatever that's called now, Bristol Street Motors Trophy, I think it's called now. If you win that, a competition you can only enter by being in the League One, League Two.
The Pizza Cup?
That's the same one. Papa John's Trophy is the same trophy.
How much money do you think we would need to rename that the South Tyneside Recycling Village Trophy?
Tip cam.
Doing God's work.
Tip cam trophy.
Well, Bristol Street Motors have got it now. I mean, I was thought, because when I played Sunday Leagues, when I was a kid at West Park and Shields, there was a team called Bristol Street Motors, so I always assumed it was a local concern.
I was going to say, I played against them loads of times.
Bristol Street Motors, just the far end of West Park, right down Dean Road. Turns out it's a big national thing, like, but I was convinced Bristol Street was like the top of Marshall Wallace
Road. Shields. Aye. Shall we go through the questions, boys?
100%.
Let's do it. If anybody does have any questions, send them in. We'll go for another 15, 20 minutes and we'll go through as many as possible. If you are a member, you're guaranteed to have your question read out.
Can I ask
as well?
One?
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, it depends. Are you a member?
It depends.
I'm not, actually not.
give us all a quid and you can ask.
I've not watched Ryan Taylor, I think. Yeah.
can I ask you some questions before you ask this question?
It's nothing.
Is it about another podcast?
No.
Okay, carry on then.
It's primarily...
Is it about a fanzine?
No.
It's
primarily aimed at Decker, this one.
All right, okay.
How did you enjoy... Now, I have not heard it. How did you enjoy the Martin Upfield thing before the game? Was it all right? Because I didn't... Part of it is what I don't, because I love Local Hero that much. I think you can't improve it.
I've not heard it.
My version's
before
better.
Before Decker answers that question, I've just got to say, I was there with him at the moment that Mark Knopfler came onto the pitch, and I have never, ever seen anyone more starstruck in my life.
Was it like the Beatles in the Shea Stadium when I was scrubbing off it?
He was transfixed on the pitch, staring, complete silence. His eyes had glazed over, and he was just in a moment where it was just him and Mr. Knopfler.
What did it feel like to be his second favourite Morgan?
I was just looking at him going, bloody hell, he's really into this, isn't he?
I was breastfed on Dire Straits, like, I can't deny it. And my dad played guitar, and then I played guitar, much as for Mark Knopfler, like, to play them songs and stuff. And all the way through my life, you know, I've listened to Mark Knopfler all the way through. So I've met him before, actually, to be fair. I went to a charity night that he was at, and Shearer was there, and that was class. That was really good. But it was just nice for him to get a recognition from the club, you know, and Ashley would have never done anything like that. You know what I mean?
Did he get a shirt with number 24 on the back?
Yeah, I think that must have just been...
Someone hates Miggy, so...
No, I think it was...
I think
it was
his own name on it.
It's for the year, I think. I think it was just for the 2024. I don't know. There's no reason 24 is meaningless.
Because there's more than 24 artists on the...
I know,
the
60. Now, the problem you've got is, and I said this to my dad when we were driving up, was... The thing is, at a match day, right, playing that song, the original's got so much sax in it, it's so loud and powerful.
Very trebly, isn't it?
The problem you've got, I feel, with the guitar part, it's quite thin and quite weak. I think it'll be lovely to live. Well, we'll get a chance on the 15th, but to listen to it just normally, you know, like just in your yellow glow in the house or something. But I just feel, in terms of the actual power it gives off during the players walking out, I didn't feel was the same. Yeah. I didn't feel it was as good. But I'll be really interested to hear the Fulham's track record.
Actually, as a follow-up for the three of you. Mm-hmm.
There was some interesting little,
I wouldn't let Mark little
pieces
now.
Yeah, well, I think what they've done, obviously, Guy Fletcher's the one that's produced, and I think the 60 artists, it's like in between the gaps. The guitarists have filled them gaps, so that anything that's really got a gap in it is filled like by guitar, which is lovely. Yeah.
Would you change it? Would you keep Local Hero? Would you change it to someone else? Because that's been a bit of a conversation thing over.
It happened before. Huller changed it, didn't he? Huller
changed that Junior Turner song, aren't you? Which is the one that you like?
Yeah. No, I actually think it's a good song.
I
wouldn't change it. No, I wouldn't. I would never change Local Hero. But of course, I'm biased. I'm nearly crying when someone walks on a pitch.
One of my good mates, Stewie, hates it. Hates Local Hero, and I'd say. For me, it's like football heritage. It's not
a bit of EDM.
Another podcast that I listen to, which isn't Newcastle based. I think was it Football Cliches, one of the authentic ones, and they've said in the past that like it's one of the when you watch Match of the Day and they've got the it's always a view from the Gallagher looking over the pitch. You can hear Local Hero, and that's Saturday night. That's Match of the Day. Yeah. That's like it's football.
Yeah, I can't change it.
I would never change it.
I'd want to go back to what we used to do, where we used to have the Carmen intro, and then. And then that.
I would like to have been.
I used to love that.
The Premier League intro.
That's the problem. You've got the Premier League intro now, haven't you? Which I think does spoil
it. I know they've got that. It's that new version of Beard Races, which I hate. Yeah.
Everybody's hated that from the get go.
Hey Jude.
Yeah.
There's something else. It's like they've got four or five songs now that the crowbar in that 10 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
It just feels so like it gets a bit lost. You've got to have the Premier League intro. So have that. Have Local Hero. Have. The old version, Busker's version of Blade and Races as I come out for the second half and I've run for home full time. There you go, sorted.
Yeah. What is mad is he's Martin Offler's son, Benji, follows us on Facebook.
Who, sorry?
But Martin Offler's son, Benji Offler. Okay. He plays in the band as well and he like comments on my status and stuff and like watches this sometimes. And I'm like,
hello, Benji.
I find that just ridiculous. Like, do you know what I mean? That your son interacts. I know it sounds daft, but just to me, I find it just such a surreal thing that like, oh, this is your son. Watch me. Like, it's just mental.
I've got to try and get him on a podcast. I'm going to try and get Martin up front here. Like.
And your son.
I wouldn't be able to attack, probably. But it was really nice.
If you do it when I've got beat, you wouldn't come on anyway. So.
You what, sorry?
If you do it when I've got beat, you wouldn't come on anyway.
Nah, probably not.
It'll be like that moment when Shira came on the podcast as well. And you just looked dead at the camera and you went, I've got all my shirts behind.
Yeah, I know. I just got this real kid just comes out where I just kind of. I'll never change.
Right, let's go through the rest of the questions. This one's from Blue Rhythm Boy. That says, we need to talk about Barnes. Hit or miss, or is it too early to tell? Mark?
He missed a few on Tuesday night, like.
That one, when he totally it doesn't even hit the net. Yeah. He misses by that much. On his left foot, I suppose. There's mitigation there, like. But
well, I think... If you look at that game in isolation, it wasn't the greatest, but you just look at what he's done in other games. Admittedly, when he's came on as a substitute, he's made an impact. You know, he scored goals on at least two, three occasions, I think, of where he's came on, and it's home particularly.
Has he scored since he came back? I'm sure he scored fairly recently.
He scored when he first came back.
He scored just the other week.
He came on as a substitute and scored.
Was it Luton?
Yes, it was. It was great. Yeah. He was their foot. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I think, as an impact player, he's definitely shown that promise there. And, you know, just as we've mentioned there with Gordon, I think getting him fit, getting him used to playing with the team, having him training every day is going to do him the world of good. And he'll come good. He's a good player.
He's a very good player. Yeah, he is.
I think it's, I wouldn't say it's too early to tell. It's just obviously his season's been hit by injury. But I like him. He brings something different. I know, yes, he's up against that position against Gordon. It's going to be very, very hard to take that away from Gordon. But it's great to have that option of Barnes available as well. We've been desperate for so long for these sort of players. And yes, you can look at the right-hand side and think that we don't have the same power and strength on the right-hand side as what we do on the left right now. But I like Barnes, mate. Like, I think he'll be a decent player in the long run.
Yeah,
I like him a lot, and something completely different to Gordon. Where if Gordon's got the ball and you're a fullback, you're going to get run at. Whereas if Barnes has got the ball, likelihood is he's going to be giving the ball away, and you've got to watch him and try and stop. He's a difficult bloke to defend against. On he's getting fit. It might not happen. It might be that similar to Gordon last season because he's been on for so long. What's it now? February, March 4th. So it's still 2 months left of the season.
2.5 months.
Yeah, I think we might see some. Maybe it's not the best of Harvey Barnes between now and the end of the season. But I think we'll certainly see more of him. If he stays fit. Now, I think it's too early to tell, but I can't see him being a miss. No.
And it gives us that strength and depth, doesn't it? That, you know, as you just said, exactly right, Chris, that we're perhaps missing on the right-hand side.
you've got two very good left wingers there.
You're a fan of him as well, Dick, aren't you? Because I think you mentioned a couple of times that he just seems to slow the game down a little. Well, not slow the game down, but the game seems to go to the pace that he wants to do.
I think so. He reminds us a lot of Grealish in that sense, where the game could be a million miles an hour, but when it goes to him, it's under his tempo, if that makes sense. Now, I think a few fans, especially at Blackburn, was a similar thing, and it happened again on Saturday. I think some fans haven't really worked out what he is, because I think the every time he gets the ball, they're going, right, get at him, or use your pace. I don't think they've realised actually he's not what Gordon is. It's almost that the thing he's coming on. Yeah. Great. He's got loads of pace. He's a totally different player. He really is.
I think all of our wingers, I mean, to Maximin, Murphy and Almiron,
I still wish all kind of to bring off the bench. Like.
They are all run at him types, and he's not like that, is he?
No, he's not. No, I mean, he will carry the ball, don't get us wrong, and he's elusive. He'll come inside. We all know what he's going to try and do. But he is completely different to that. But what I will say is that the quality he's got in front of goal, and I appreciate Tuesday we didn't see it, but we've seen it in moments anyway, right, when he's been on. We know he can do it, right? Mm. And I think we might be sitting around the table. I'm not sure he's going to score 10 goals, I think, next season, but we might have a very similar sense of, like, what we've talked about Gordon a lot this season, of giving him a full preseason.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets a good start, and then the momentum will build from there. And I think we might talk about Barnes in the same way next season.
Like the issue that Barnes has, like I said, though, is getting that position away from Gordon. That's not happening.
It's. I think I referenced this last week, that I still find it, to be honest, I still find it quite strange that we did that.
Yeah.
I have to be fair.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I just find it a bit weird. I just probably do.
Yeah, especially obviously.
Just do. We sold Maxi
to bring Barnes in.
And I thought I'd sold Maxi, which is fine, by the way. It's not really, but it's fine anyway. maybe it developed somewhere else. I didn't know where, maybe.
People thought we'd sell Maxi to because we're going on the left-hand side and possibly fund something on the right-hand
side. Right-hand side. That was kind of the thought process we thought was a 2-2 and we got 10, really. And we signed another left winger, and I just found it strange. Now, I appreciate Gordon, and I think I will have to admit a bit of a defeat here. Well done, Mark. Gordon is not the answer up front. However, he's very busy, isn't he? He's very busy.
Yeah.
And I think, for all I don't think he's a centre forward or a striker, he's like Wilson, of course. He's still managing to cause enough trouble to get away with playing that role. Not that we,
until he falls the bit
just
as well.
I thought against Blackburn when he went up top, I thought he did really well again. But Gordon can play obviously multiple positions, and it'd be very interesting though next season when Barnes is, or even midway through towards the end here, if Barnes is absolutely full tilt 100%, what do we do? Like, does Gordon move? Do we stick? Barnes isn't going to go over the right hand side. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see what he does there. Like, I think.
Next question is from Josh Stockton, who says, Joe Linton is set to sign a new contract with Amanda Stavey now handling the deal. Do you think Ashworth was deliberately stalling things to unsettle Joe Linton?
Am I allowed to say hashtag, like I said?
Hashtag tinfoil hat.
On Joe Linton.
I think, did I bring this up last? It was last week I brought this up and said
100% he was always going to sign a contract. Always going to sign it.
But that's not the question.
No, I know.
The question
but
is,
I'm just making sure
was Dan Ashworth trying to unsettle?
I don't think so, personally.
We did discuss that, didn't we?
But I think the reason we were discussing it, because he had plans to go to Man United or possibly steal Joe Linton from Newcastle United.
That was one of the potential thoughts that he could do, because he knew the offer of contract that was on the table and all of that kind of thing. But yeah, I just didn't think it ever had any legs, because there ain't no way that we're letting Joe Linton go without a hell of a fight.
I think he would do a good job, man. As it happens, looking at their team and what they're missing. Without a doubt, for them, but
without a doubt, he
would. I think
God,
him.
He mentions that podcast now. He's mentioned the silver players after different teams. Fucking nasty. You're on one
idea. I'd love to see him and Bruno Fernandes together.
I think. What's your thoughts on this Dan Ashworth then being involved, and then all of a sudden, obviously him now leaving, and now apparently Amanda's back in, and all of a sudden it's all systems go and we're going to get him. Do you believe in any of that, or do you think?
Well, maybe Dan Ashworth is just trying to play hardball a little bit.
Yeah.
But to me, all that Joe Linton wants is to be up there with the highest earners in the football club, and he deserves every single penny of that, for me, like.
Yeah. No, he absolutely does. It's just a funny dynamic, isn't it? Because I appreciate, I'm going to try and say if I'm Amanda at the minute, right? Say if I was. And you've employed your sporting director, and it's his job, and he has to do that, right?
He's in charge of that, yeah.
And he comes back to you and says, well, we're not going to offer Joe Linton what he wants, right? That's just hypothetically I'm saying, yeah. But now he's gone, a man is like, right, whatever you want, you can have it.
One of those other players, I'd be knocking on her door.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, the dynamic must be quite difficult, because a man, I bet, probably going, no, Dan, like with Dan.
What I would say to that, though, Decker, is just look back to the Amazon documentary when we're trying to sign Gordon. Ashworth Ashworth was trying to push it through to actually up what we're offering and increase it, whereas Amanda was the one that's stepped back and said, hold on a minute, let's just let them sweat on it. So it was her that was playing the hardball.
Well, I know, but in life, there will be moments where, you know, one person will play hardball and one won't, and who likes someone more than the other, and things like that. Maybe it's just because Dan Ashworth's no longer here or whatever. These rumours are circulating that all of a sudden now he's not part of the picture. We are going to offer him what he wants. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just an easy 2 add 2 equals 4, or is it like a? Do you know what I mean by that? Like,
that's my assumption. Is that I think I don't expect. It's a strange one, because Ashworth, if he was the reason that Joe Linton hadn't signed the deal yet, he must have had a strategy in mind of commit that money there because we're going to use that for
elsewhere.
Something in the future, but then like the goalposts have moved. We're not in the Champions League now next season, or we're not anymore this season. So that would have affected the money that they're going to have in. Maybe they've looked at it and said, well, we're not going to be getting such and such in the summer anymore because that's fallen by the wayside. So instead, we're going to bolster. We're going to get Joel in. It could be anything. It could be any one of a number of things. I don't expect...
We might have to buy Lewis Hall.
there's always the rumours around when you actually get players to sign the contracts and stuff like that based on where that'll then sit in your FFP and your finance figures and stuff like that. Obviously, it'll be a new financial year, 1st of April. So if we were then to sign stuff after that, it's not going to go on your books for this this financial year. So that'll have a knock-on effect. So, you know, things like that, you know, that it'll be working out in the background as well. It could be influencing reasons for not having it signed before.
I think a lot of the games that we've played, we haven't been at our best, and I think it's because he hasn't been on the pitch. Physicality in the midfield hasn't looked the same, and
we'll talk about that gap between defence and midfield. That's him.
He's just everything.
That's one of the reasons that they played the way they did on Saturday was because sitting deeper, you don't have that gap necessarily. It's not as pronounced. Mm-hmm. And like Mark says, that when Isak was popping up in that gap, but in the Wolves half, it's kind of with almost.
Well, the first goal was one of the best counter attacks you see, right? It was amazing.
We haven't talked about Bruno like for that goal.
Absolutely. Crack on.
The run that he makes.
Yeah.
If Bruno, and I've got to say, it's probably the fastest I've ever seen.
It's a long Bruno by move, his standards, isn't it?
He busts a gut again, because it's literally from box to box that he's gone there. And you're watching Gordon go down the wing, and you know he's got the pace there. And it's like, Christ, who's going to be able to catch up and be there at the end of the break? And to see, and you can just see, like, obviously from where we are, we're completely in line with it. And Bruno's just absolutely haggard, flying through the middle, just pumping his arms just to try and get that extra mile an hour out of his run, and he just pops up, gets that overlap, and it's just
A little bit of luck on that one.
We did,
but your own luck sometimes.
But the first two, you could argue because the way the ball falls to Gordon. But then, if Isak's not made that movement, if Bruno hasn't made the run and Gordon hasn't picked that ball, and Isak hasn't gambled on it going across the face of goal. It doesn't go in.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So it's fortunate, but we've been there. Same the second one, the ball, it's a great ball in by Murphy. The defender and the goalkeeper getting a mess. Anthony Gordon's on hand. That'll do me. That 100 times, and you might get 75 where the ball just rolls away harmlessly or goes over Isak, but he was there to do it. So it was fortunate, but as you say, you kind of made your own luck.
It's nice to get that little bit of luck because we've, like the last handful of games, we've sat at the match and gone, God, it's just nothing's fallen forward with like second balls, little things in the boxes and stuff like that. Blackburn, it's just not gone our way.
The Blackburn equaliser where there's a save on the crossbar and it goes straight at that Smodics. It's like, oh, I'll put that away then.
Yeah, there's that times where I feel that the football gods hate us with chances like that.
It's just how it is. Football is. It's so marginal.
Mm. Like, and that really is. It really is. And I think to go back to marginal and confidence and things, I think the defence getting a clean sheet, I think, do them the world of good.
Yeah.
It's the first one in a while.
Although Botman looked more like he's old.
He did. I still think that is a lot to do with for their side, the players they had missing. I mean, they had Neto outright. They didn't really have any photo point at all in the game. But that's not our problem.
Neto, like, did he?
No, he did nothing.
He had one chance.
There was a few times them doubled up on the right-hand side, certainly the first half, because we were in line with that. And I thought, God, if this fullback drives, it was 2 against 1 on Burn. That three times that opportunity, but for some reason they just came back and
had a great chance early on. It was Fabian Schär come sliding in.
It was a great challenge. It was funny.
I'm going to end it on the last question. Sorry, everybody who has sent questions in, we haven't gone through them. Hopefully, we've covered them throughout the episode, though. This one is from Dasmo. Dasmo says, "Does Gordon get on the plane to Germany in the summer?"
Well, I'm going on a stag do, so I hope he comes with me. It'd be great. He'd definitely come with me.
Maybe going to Hamburg for a couple of for a weekend, like, but
do you know,
he deserves it, doesn't he?
100%.
He does, but I feel as though Southgate would have looked at him already if he was going to, for a tournament.
Didn't say that. He's still out there watching Billy Henderson most of the time. Well, if he, okay then, right. So let's, who's in his position? Who have we got?
That's the thing for me. Like, based on form and his performances.
All right.
You've got Bellingham out there, Foden.
Who?
Sometimes
Bellingham.
Bellingham.
I wouldn't say he's a left.
Bellingham. I played left of.
Left. So you. Left.
I wouldn't have left wing or left, like Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, but that
Foden and Rashford, right?
Yeah.
They're the two, and then you've
Grealish as well
if he's fit.
Sat on the other side.
Yeah,
play on the right inside as well there.
Yeah, Foden, my God, he's not against him.
Phenomenal,
but in the squad, and you could say people might think we're being biased, but I think he's played himself into the conversation definitely. I would have him on the squad, no doubt about it. But
the fact that you can pop up in the middle with a goal as well.
Yeah.
Behind Wilson, you're probably looking at Villa Watkins.
Yeah, he's
maybe
else,
Tony if he finishes the season well. I think
he needs to get that together quick, him, if he wants to be on the team. Like,
he's with the Brits at the minute, and he's doing
Watkins a shoe in for that second position.
And rightly so, Solanke, maybe it's like Solanke English. Can he play for England, Dominic Solanke?
He is English, I believe.
He's scouser, isn't he?
I would take Gordon. I would, but I'm not so sure he will. Like,
he'll 100% get called up for the game at our place.
Oh, Serbia, isn't it?
And that could be a game from where if he can perform in that one, do you know what I mean? Which I'm sure if he gets picked and it's at home, my God, he'll want to be scoring 10. You know what I mean? So. If you can have a good performance there and keep doing what he's doing, right? That's all he can do. You know what I mean? And I think if he can continue this form like he has until the end of the season, he's got to be in
it. Do you know what it is? It would be a shame for the likes of Anthony Gordon there, where you can tell he has grafted this season to get where he is.
Oh, aye.
And to not even get a look in would be such a shame for him, because he'd be thinking, what else can I do?
But we've seen it, haven't we, in our place with players that have been in very good form and just don't get a sniff. You'd hoped with obviously Pope being in and around it and stuff that he'd spent more time coming watching our games. Well.
So just because you mentioned Pope there was another question, and I think it was from Callum Lewis. That is Nick Pope. Does he come straight back in?
Yes.
Once fit?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I don't think it's a no-brainer that, like,
properly fit. I wouldn't bring him in if he was like another week away. He's got to be 100%.
Yeah.
Because the Bravka, we've talked at length about what he doesn't do. But he is a really good stopper.
Yeah. There were still occasions on Saturday where he just didn't come for the ball. There was one ball where it went through and he had about 10 minutes to come and get the ball and he just didn't move. And it then caused us to get a little bit of pressure on when they got off a chance for it.
I think I've been quite critical from the start of him going in, but I think the last two games that we've had probably been his best two since returning. I'd say that Blackburn, of course, Blackburn was amazing for him.
Just purely shot stopping.
I agree. Well,
maybe Anfield.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, to be fair, again, shot stopping. Yeah. But again, it was only the game before the Blackburn game where Karius, everyone's going, he should start in the cup game. He deserves it. He was shooting up from the back and he's coming out stopping the attacks. And
I don't know.
He was great. Karius was excellent at doing that, can I add? But everyone was saying, well, Dubravka shouldn't come back in. Then, ironically, he has Dubravka as the hero on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that is football, isn't it? It's a funny game, but Dubravka, there's not many better number twos. Like,
he's a great number two.
There's not many
better. I think Karius is a great number three.
I've said
that
a while ago. I don't think there's a better bank of goalkeepers than we have.
No chance.
Poor Dubravka, Karius.
Well, Karius is apparently away in the summer. He wants to.
I think both will. I think Dubravka and Karius will both go on.
Karius will go somewhere and he'll be first choice. In Serie A, I would have thought, like, I'm obviously probably taking a Juve.
I am going to quickly change this very quickly. Yeah. Did you see Lloris is in America by any chance? The snow.
You've got
to see it, mate.
What?
I have no idea how it was even played.
It was for Elliot.
I think he's got a good big beard as well. It looks like Revenant.
He's just covered in snow. He's just conceded a goal. And there's just
covered in snow.
Oh, mate, I've never seen snow like it in a game.
When Chelsea played Tromso in 97, it's like that.
It's literally the first time I've ever seen an orange ball for the last 20 years.
It was typical America.
Did
like
they have the blue lines on the field as well?
You couldn't see them. You
scraped them. They scraped them out of the snow.
They didn't play with the orange.
Honestly, Americans are absolutely crackers when it comes to snow and
sports. I love that. NFL is
I love when they do it in NFL.
When the NFL, when it gets towards the end of the season, you think, oh, Buffalo at home, this weekend is a chance. Or Green Bay, like anything near the border.
It's when you see the fans and the snow's, like, as I say them, it's up to here, the snow.
See,
and
when they played them, Pittsburgh, in the, was it in the playoffs?
It was, yeah, yeah.
Well, digging the, digging themselves into the ground.
The family were like jumping through. The family were shuffling the way through the stand. Like, it's just,
I love that. Like,
but that's what this was like for Lorries. And I, oh, it was tough to watch.
It was literally. His beard was full of ice.
Oh, I
just lit his face.
It was terrible.
It was unreal.
I don't know what nurse made us think of that. I don't know.
I'm going to have a look at that when we finish.
I'm seeing if I can get it loaded up now.
Honestly, I love out like that. Like, honestly, Americans are just absolutely crackers when it comes.
That. Maybe we should do it. When I first saw it, I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be, obviously it wouldn't be, but it's like, it's when you see footage, oh, that's a game in Russia that they're having in the winter, that kind of thing. But like, you expect it to. I mean,
that's terrible, isn't it?
You couldn't even play a Sunday league in like in conditions like that, could you?
I think we should do a podcast, right, on ways to improve football in the snow, just to see what ideas we can come up with, right? Obviously, we've got the orange ball. We've got the lines used to be blue, didn't they? I made that up.
Yeah, blue.
They used to put blue lines on, didn't they? There must be something else.
That wasn't it just that the white lines got that cold that
did they change the nets as well? Surely they've got to change the colour of the nets.
I don't think so.
Just being the net, I was I watched a highlight, and I think it was when, was it Kabay's goal against Man United?
In the crossbar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did I have black and white nets then?
I don't think we did then, but we did. We
definitely have had them.
Oh, no.
Certainly in the 90s.
No, that's what I mean. So I'm going back, in my mind, I'm going back to the Andy Cole days and stuff when I used to go, right? But I'm telling you, I seen a goal under the Pardew era. And they had black and white nets now. Oh, it was a that's what it was. It was Ben Arfa's goal against Bolton from the halfway line when he joined the Cruyff and then took everyone on. I watched it the other day and it was black and white nets. And I went, whoa,
I don't
I can't recall having them that recent, if that makes sense.
I was watching summer, spring, summer. They looked 12,
it's something I just associated with Adidas, me, the black and white nets.
Yeah, the boxes in the stand and the black white seats.
Yeah, oh well. Thanks everybody who has joined us live tonight. It's been a pleasure as always. If you do want to become a member, it is just $2.99 a month, like I mentioned earlier. You get extra content, you get early access to content, you get access to the Telegram group as well. If you do just want to like the video, it means a lot to us, help us reach other Newcastle United fans. We are around about 50 subscribers away from 11,000 as well, so if you haven't subscribed already, go and do that. And finally, if you are listening to the audio only, give us a 5-star rating, give us a little review and a comment on there. We are off. We shall see you next time. We'll be back next week for the live watch along for Newcastle United versus Chelsea with our big pizza.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Kind of weird,
massive pizza.
Big pizza. See you later. Ta-ra.
Bye now.
Social Podcast Network.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today. At LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.